FM's Morning Focus.
Brought to you by Shannon Heritage. Our King John's Castle Visitor Centre brings to life over 800 years of local history. Shannon Heritage, bringing our history closer to you.
You're welcome back to the programme. Yesterday, we talked about farming. This morning, we're putting the spotlight on fishing. Janie Hart in Kilkee has been in touch with us on this issue in the last little while. Good morning to you, Janie.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thanks very much for joining us on the programme. What are your thoughts on the fishing community? You're concerned, I think it's fair to say.
Yes, I've been concerned about the fishing for years, to be quite honest. And I won't make a big long thing about it, but it's with the past 10 years since our fishing rights were taken away from us. We were able to fish for salmon, and it's when that really happened that it really, really, really put the fishermen down altogether. And I do feel that what I'm trying to say is now that with the help of God, when the next Minister of Fisheries comes in, whoever he's going to be, that the first people that he will look at is the fishermen, because I'm a fisherman's wife for over 40 years, and I think they have been really let down in every way. And as this program is out in the air, I'm speaking for my own family here, but I want the other families all over Ireland that have been let down as well to phone Gavin and say what they think.
Obviously, you feel this is having a big impact, Janie, on fishermen and their families, but probably, and I'm sure, in communities along the coast and along this county's coast, of course.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. But what I'm trying to get across is, and I keep saying that, when we were able to fish the few salmon, right, we had a fairly all right income, just a fairly all right. But when they took away the salmon licenses from them and sold us out, you could say, sold us out. And it's very bad when the Irish fishermen can't fish their own waters. And you look out and you can see six or seven trawlers out there every night fishing the Irish waters, and the Irish fishermen can't do it. I can't understand really why the fishermen haven't spoken up more about it themselves.
I had a look at the census figures. Do you know how many fishermen, according to the census, there are in Clare? Give a guess.
I don't know. Either.
Rough guess.
I don't know.
17.
Yes.
That's it. 17. Not 1,700, not 17 per 1,000, 17 in the whole county.
Yeah, but look at 17 families or 17 families.
Oh, of course. Imagine. No. But for a county with such a coastline, it's an incredibly small number.
Yeah.
I thought that's I know what you're saying, 17 families, and you're 100% right, but it seems like, again, when you look at, just as I'm doing right now as I talk to you, looking at a map of Clare, you see all the coast and all the water that's beside us. It's a remarkably small number.
I know it is, but as I say, I don't care how small it is, because one family I'd be sorry for one family, never mind 17. I don't care who's there or what was there. But they just, why should they sell? Why should anybody sell out another country's waters?
Is there a solution, I wonder?
Well, the solution would be that they shouldn't have done it the first time. I mean, who had the right to do it? All they did was they gave a few pounds to the fishermen at the time, and they had to take it, or if they didn't, they were still going on with what they were doing. And I mean, it's not just me, everybody keeps saying, because it's one thing in my life that really kind of maddened me, was that, you know, overfish your families. I suppose it's like everyone would stand up for their own families and other families that do the same thing.
Is it tough being the wife of a fisherman?
Well,
I'm sure he's a lovely man, by the way.
Pardon?
I'm sure he's a lovely man.
Oh, he's a gentleman, that's why I'm speaking about it. And his brother, and the two of them are together, but people don't seem to, or in the government or any place else, understand fishermen's life and the time they put into it. And they might only have 2 days a week, or maybe no day, and they're only looking out at the water here in Kilkee to see can they go out for a couple of hours.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And there's no such thing as, if we only got, Devin, 1 week's fishing in the summer, right? That they, the fisher people have nothing else for the rest of the year, only depend on what they're after taking in.
Yeah, and when the weather is there and when the stock is there, obviously.
Yes, yeah. And there has been really, there's no fishing in Kilkee since the salmon license was taken off them.
And before that, was there a lot of fishing?
Well, there wasn't a lot, but there was enough. I mean, we could do a little for our families and this, that and the other. But since that, and you know, people say to me, like, you know, oh, you must have a salmon or two. We wouldn't do that because we're too, how would you say, honest people. We don't do that. If we're stopped, we're stopped.
Okay.
And I mean, if you were even caught taking in one, you wouldn't have your license for to do the few lobsters.
Janie, we'll have more on this in a moment. Thanks for getting in touch.
All right, love. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And Jim, thanks. Martina Ryan's also been in touch from Kilkee. Good on Jane Hart for telling the truth on fishing. She says, life for fishermen in Kilkee is so hard. That's Martina's taken that this morning. You can send us in yours as well. Leonie Reith is on the line. She's the Sinn Féin MEP for Ireland South and also a member of the European Union's Fisheries Committee. Good morning to you, Leah.
Good morning to you, Gavin.
And thanks very much for joining us this morning. Your assessment for life as a fisherman in this county, in this country, we were just hearing from a Kilkee woman saying it's become increasingly difficult over the past few years.
Well, she's absolutely right. It is, and I think the fishing industry has been very much kind of strangled, I suppose, for want of a better word. And ever since we joined the EU, I think most people at this stage recognise that. We did so forfeiting our rights in terms of fisheries, and of course the huge problem there is quota and how the quota is actually distributed. And there's so many different loops and penalty points and all of that that are issued to fishermen that it's becoming impossible for them to actually earn a living at all. And I have to say that I'm quite disappointed with BIM because they seem to be looking towards decommissioning as opposed to investing. And that's sending a clear message to the fisheries, I think, by saying, look, you know, we're not really interested in investing in your fisheries. We think you should just pack up and decommission boats.
But the idea of the quotas, the idea of the quotas, as I understand it, is to protect the stocks, to ensure there's fish there into the future. There's surely merit in that.
There is, but I'll tell you how it does actually operate. It's not necessarily the issue with the stocks or the quotas in that sense, but it's how the quotas actually distributed. And it's very unfairly distributed, where you have a very small amount of fisheries or the bigger fleet. Mainly they're in Killybegs, I have to say. They get a huge quota, and the rest of the fisheries around the coast in places like Clare, they don't get a bite of the cherry, really. So it's not a level playing pitch in that sense. So the quota has to be looked at in terms of its fairness and its equal distribution. And another thing I would say that there should be we should be looking at flexibility of quota as well. For instance, we had a huge surplus boot in tuna not so long ago, and that's a very valuable fish. And I did raise it with Simon Coveney at the time when he was Minister for Marine. And I said, look, you know, why can't we look at flexibility of quota, give fishermen a temporary quota on this when the stocks are so rich? But of course, that wasn't even considered. So there are things that I think, in my view, could be implemented to make life a little bit easier for our coastal communities and our fisheries.
And how much of an issue is it now with regards to international trawlers coming here and fishing in Irish waters or close to Ireland and scooping up a lot of what's there?
Well, now, I've been incredibly vocal about the super trawlers, as people probably there in County Clare know about their existence. Mm. And I had a hearing about it here in Brussels as a kind of a start of a process, because I want to bring it to the attention of the committee and ultimately looking to ban these super trawlers, because they bring absolutely no value whatsoever to Ireland. They come and the nets are the sizes of a football pitch. So if you can imagine a football pitch constantly hoovering up fish. And also it doesn't discriminate because it can catch up dolphins and a lot of other large species. And so they are very, very destructive in my view, and they need to be banned. They have been banned in other countries, but of course in Ireland we allow them to come into our waters willy-nilly, and they tend to fish 24 hours a day. So if you're going to be hoovering up that amount of stock constantly, of course you're going to be doing damage to the stocks that are there.
And do we allow
like
that?
I said... Sorry?
Why do we allow that if it's so bad in your view? Why haven't they been banned?
Well, that therein lies the question. It has to come from the Irish government that they have to put a ban on it. Other countries have done so, and I can't see why we shouldn't put a ban on it either. And of course, the other big issue that we're going to be facing is Brexit, because this is going to impact on Irish fisheries. In fact, I was in the committee yesterday outlining the impact it's going to have on Ireland. And Ireland, as I was telling the other members, is going to be far more affected than any other country when it comes to fishing. And in fact, of every aspect of Brexit, because really we are now going to be providing post-Brexit, you know, 30% of the water and 40% of the stocks. And we only get to land 5% of the overall total quota of the EU fish quota. So, you know, there's something radically wrong there. There's huge inequalities there. And there has been a seismic change with Brexit, really. And the main thing which kind of serves the common fisheries policy is a thing called relative stability. And that's where we look at shared stock. Okay. And because everything has changed now, relative stability, which underpins the common fisheries policy, has to be absolutely reviewed, in my view. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to put that through committees. But anyway, okay, we'll keep on fighting the good fight.
Stay with us, Lee. I'm also joined this morning by Tommy Comerford in Dunbeg. Good morning, Tommy.
Morning, Gavin.
You're part of the Fishermen's Association there. What's the issue that you've had in recent times?
Well, just first of all, I would agree fully with Jean Hart's comments. And just to tell you, in Dunbeg at the time, between the 70s and 80s, we had approximately 30 people working in the fishery industry in Dunbeg with about 14 boats. Now we've just one. And basically, what it's crying out for, particularly in West Clare, the only way I see out is developing marine tourism and having a sea angling hub in the area, in the West Clare area. We have huge potential there. We in Dunbeg, looking forward, we did a social economic impact study on the possibility of developing marine tourism, yes, and sea angling hub in the Dunbeg area. And as a result of that consultant's report, it's unbelievable the money they could see that would come into the economy in West Clare and the jobs it would create.
When was that report done, Tommy?
It was done in February 2015 and was initiated by our local fishermen's group with the assistance of Clare County Council. Mm. But my problem is there appears to be no active fishery policy in the local authority to assist in the development of coastal piers. If you look along at the coastline of all the west coast of Ireland, every county has specifically a very good harbour or pier to help in, we'll just say, marine tourism and sea angling. That seems to be the only way for small fishermen and small areas like Dunbeg and Kilkee to establish an industry there. And we have to focus more on tourism now, because as your previous speaker said, all our fish have been taken outside. So we're left with a small amount of fish on near the coastline.
We do have piers, though, of course, in a number of locations on the county's coast. Is it just that they're not big enough or good enough?
Our problem in Dunbeg is we have a fantastic pier that we fought over a long number of years to extend. And we have a problem there with water access at low tides. Mm. We have actually an entrepreneur now who started up a business, a fantastic young man, and it's called Atlantic Adventures, and he's providing a service there where he'll take people from Dunbeg to the Aran Islands, and he'll also provide trips, coastal trips around the Loope Peninsula and along up to the cliffs of Moher. And also there's an abundance of fish inland that can be,
The shift seems to be, Tommy, that you're going away from fishing as an industry but using the sea, as you say, for marine tourism.
We have no choice. We have no choice because our fishermen are gone. They're decimated. And to invest
whose
now...
Whose fault is that? Who do you blame for that?
I blame government policy. I blame our own local authority, even though now I must compliment them that they're one of the leading counties in setting up the rural development strategy, where hopefully they will listen to the people on the ground. And this rural development strategy will look seriously at the fishery developments, because it's the one industry. We in Dunbeg saw the potential of harnessing our national areas like our golf course up there. We initiated that. We also see that the fishing industry in West Clare would create another more potential for more jobs in West Clare.
I want to go back to yourself, Leah, on this one. I mean, Tommy's story there of what has happened over the years in Dunbeg, I'm sure, can be replicated in many other communities, not just in this county, but right along the coast. But is that not just the reality of how fishing is in Ireland right now, and that the industry that was perhaps once there in many areas can't return?
Well, the reality is, as Tommy said, and it is, I've seen it right across all the coast, and it is absolutely, in my view, totally unacceptable. I think it needs serious investment. I think it needs political will. I think there's a lot more flexibility within Ireland to do more. It's not just governed by EU rules. And with that in mind, I propose a Charter of Rights, actually for fisheries and island, the islands as well, to look at how can we best support these communities that have been absolutely decimated. And pretty soon, we won't have an industry. You can forget about the 12-metre boats. It's just going to be the huge freaks that will monopolise it. And let me tell you something quite interesting. A lot of people think, oh, these huge, you know, these fleets. No, we're not against employment. Obviously, they do create good employment, and that has to be appreciated. But a lot of the owners of these big boats, they're actually solicitors and big business people that sit in offices and never spend a day in the boat. So there's huge, huge inequalities there, but investment is needed. And I know it's terrible when you tell a fisherman, look, you have to branch out and start looking at marine tourism. That's something that no fisheries really want to hear. They want to be able to go out and fish.
But
if there
like
was proper management done of stocks, I can't see why this industry couldn't be revived with decent investment and the political will to do so. We're an island nation, for God's sake. You know, we really do have great potential to develop it in all kinds of ways. And I would like to say to Tommy that I must go down and meet them in Dunbeg, because I know there are various funding streams that might be of use to them to try and develop it there. You know, either through flag funding or various other paths that we can come up with.
Okay. Gavin, could I comment on that now?
Yes, Tony.
Well, you see, there is huge funding available through West Flag funding under BIM. And it's just unbelievable. You see, what these organisations who promote these, they forget that we're just voluntary people, maybe lacking in professional expertise. What we need on the ground, and I constantly said it, we need someone professionally to assist local communities. We have the ideas, we have the knowledge, but we haven't the expertise. And when you go applying for any of this funding, there's a whole series of qualifications and regulations, and we're also harnessed by this special area conservation. Just to give you an example, we recently tried to put a pontoon off our pier because we have a problem with water access, and through various representations to council, we had to go forward and get a screening report which cost a lot of money. We still aren't able to put that in place.
Very briefly.
And it's those are the problems. And they can have all the grants in the world, but we need professional help on the ground.
Very, very briefly, Tommy, can this industry be revived here in West Clare?
There's no doubt, but the only way I see forward is the marine tourism and having a what we could call a sea angling hub in West Clare, which would attract a huge amount of visitors into the area.
I'll leave it there, and thank you both for joining us this morning. That was Sinn Féin MEP Lady Rita and Tommy Comerford there in Dunbeg.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.